earth, and sky.
There is this sense that we may need to do more, that just improving the fuel economy of the vehicles and the carbon content of the fuels they use may not be enough, and that we may need to actually reduce the amount of travel we do by motor vehicles.
You're listening to Jose Gomez Ibanez of Harvard University, and this is Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science. Professor Gomez Ibanez led a 2009 study on U.S. transportation options for the National Research Council. It quantified the amount by which people living closer together and driving less can reduce the CO2 emissions known to contribute to global climate change. Professor Gomez Ibanez spoke more about the study with Earth Sky's Jorge Salazar.
Professor Gomez Ibanez, welcome to Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science.
Thank you.
Now tell us about the findings of the report by the National Academies. It's called Driving and the Built Environment, and it looked at the environmental effect in the U.S. of people's driving.
We were asked to review the research on the relationship between the built environment and driving, and thus on fuel consumption and greenhouse gas emissions. And the research shows that more compact mixed-use development does reduce driving. The effect is not very large. A doubling in the density of development will reduce driving by some 5 to 12% per household. But it's not zero. It's significant. It also takes a little while for that effect to be realized. The problem is that we are not going to knock down and rebuild the existing housing stock to a denser, higher level of density. It's too valuable to do that. So most of the effect comes from the new stock, and it takes a while before new stock is an appreciable portion of the total stock. We do some scenarios, some very simple scenarios, where we estimate that if we increase the density of new development quite significantly, that we will get a 1 to 2% reduction in VMT by 2030 and an 8 to 11% reduction in VMT, perhaps as much as an 8 to 11% reduction in VMT by 2050. But as you can see, it takes a while.
And by VMT, you mean the vehicle miles traveled?
Yes.
And maybe getting back to another term you used earlier, and that's compact development. What is compact development?
Our new development is quite low density, not in every metropolitan area. Some metropolitan areas in the West have new development that is fairly compact, but most metropolitan areas grow at low density on the fringes. And so more compact development would reduce driving in a variety of ways. At the fringe, more compact development would mean that trips were simply shorter. And if uses were more mixed at the fringe, if jobs and shopping and housing were more interspersed, that would also reduce trip lengths. When you get to even higher densities, let's say in the inner suburbs, more compact development and more mixed-use development can make alternative modes to driving attractive, such as walking or bicycling or mass transit.
As you mentioned earlier, some of the findings of your committee in putting together this report estimate that by doubling the residential density, the number of people living in a given metropolitan area, that the amount that people drive is lowered from 5 to 12%. How does this work exactly?
Think about our suburbs that are often built with 1 acre of land per house. Suppose you built the same detached single-family homes, but on a quarter of an acre or an eighth of an acre per house rather than one whole acre. All of a sudden, you could accommodate a lot more dwelling units in much less land, and just by logic, the trips would have to be shorter, right? If you also made the developments more mixed, you didn't isolate all the housing in one section of the metropolitan area and all the jobs in another section, but interspersed them a little, that would also reduce trip lengths. So reducing trip lengths would reduce the amount of travel that households would have to undertake. If in addition, you reach certain thresholds where bicycles or walking or mass transit was more feasible, then you would get an additional reduction in vehicle miles traveled as people shifted from motor vehicles to other modes of transport.
We've been kind of talking abstractly here. Maybe could you give us some concrete examples?
Well, obviously, if you compare the New York metropolitan area or the Boston metropolitan area with, let's say, the Atlanta metropolitan area or the Phoenix metropolitan area, the densities are very different, as are their levels of transit service and the like. And that's reflected in different quantities of travel and by motor vehicle in the metropolitan areas. There are some metropolitan areas that are trying very hard to grow more a little more compactly and to reduce travel and energy consumption as a result. Perhaps the most famous is Portland, Oregon, where they have drawn a urban growth boundary around the metropolitan area and tried to keep development contained within that boundary rather than spreading and leapfrogging across the countryside. And they've been fairly successful. The average lot size for single-family houses there is now 6,000 square feet, about one-eighth of an acre, as opposed to 1 acre or more in other metropolitan areas. And we think as a result that travel there has declined.
What is the most important thing that you want people to know today about driving and energy use?
Well, I think if people want to make a contribution to arresting global warming, they should buy a fuel-efficient car and drive less, and if they can, live in a neighborhood that allows them more opportunities to use other modes of transport like bicycle, walking, and mass transit.
You've been listening to transportation researcher Jose Gomez Ibanez. He is the Derek C. Bach Professor of Public Policy and Urban Planning at Harvard University. To subscribe to this and other free science interview podcasts, visit the subscribe page at earthsky.org. I'm Lindsay Patterson. EarthSky is a clear voice for science.
We're at earthsky.org.